Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How are you?
I am currently experiencing the last 12 hours that I will ever have to wear glasses, so I'm pretty freaking stoked right now.
Sweet. You say that like you're rubbing it in as if I'm not wearing glasses right now. Thank you.
I know, right?
Either way, I'd have some sort of apparatus on my eyes to make me see better. I'm as blind as a bat. Like, I can't even tell, like...
I love your squintiness. That's fantastic.
Well, that's what happens. You take your glasses off. It's like, I don't know, maybe if I, you know, shut my eyes, I'll be able to see better. No, that's not the case.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, of course.
But, yeah, so for those of you who don't know, I'm actually having LASIK surgery at 9:30 in the morning. So it's literally 12 hours from now. They will be ripping my eyeballs apart and zapping them with lasers.
What? I don't think that's...
I'm putting them back together.
We can rebuild them. We have the technology.
Exactly.
The $6 million
apparently
eyes.
It only takes like 5 minutes, so...
What?
I'm excited.
It only takes 5 minutes?
Actually, I'm terrified. But I'm trying not to think about how terrified I am right now.
Well, I mean, okay, 5 minutes. What? Do they put you under? Or do they just, like,
hold you down? No. They just give you, like, some kind of drug. I'm not sure what it is. Like, Valium or... some other kind of like calm your nerves drug, but they don't actually knock you out. You'd have to sit there and be awake and hold your eyes open and like stare at a dot.
Do they at least like hold your eyes open for you, or do you just can't blink?
I don't think I can blink. Well, I think if I do blink, it like basically if my eyes move, they said it shuts off the laser.
Oh. Well, that's good.
Apparently.
You don't want
know.
The. Yeah. The apparently. But wait, doctor, rewind that. Did you just say apparently?
So I'm excited and nervous and scared and all the rest of it, but 12 hours from now, literally exactly, because it's now 9:41, so my appointment's at 9:30, so I'll be done this like in 12 hours.
Wow.
So one way or another, you know, could be blind, could be perfect vision.
You know what? I think I'll take the odds on perfect vision. I mean...
I know.
Let's be
I know.
Honest here.
I have a friend. She went to the same clinic about 9 months ago, and she had a fantastic experience. I'm sure I'll be fine, but I'm a little bit nervous. So
she can see.
Yes, she can see.
That's the
she
main
can
thing.
See perfectly. So basically, that means I'm not allowed to look at screens for like 3 days, which is crazy. So I won't be able to do anything. Like no video games, no TV, no sports, no nothing. I'm gonna be so bored.
Hmm. So no one's allowed to stream anything because you'll just entice Jocelyn. I need to watch it.
Exactly. If you guys do anything this weekend, then when my vision gets messed up, it's going to be all your fault.
Yeah. What you need to do, guys, is just rip the modem. Modem. Who has a modem? Oh, I guess they're all still modems. Rip the modem in half.
They're all still modems.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. That's a router, but that's still a modem. Just rip it in half and play your games offline. You know, you'll be fine.
Just keep it to yourselves, people. Just keep it to yourselves.
Stop sharing those weird links. Just keep it to yourselves.
So, yeah, that's what's happening tomorrow. So, knowing that I won't be able to play for a few days, I've been just pouring myself into Warlords as often as I can. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm having fun in that game. And I know you're playing too, but are you playing nearly as much as I am? What level are you at?
I am on the verge of 93, I believe.
Okay, so you're not that far behind. I'm about 94 and a half, so...
Man, you rocketed. I think, like, last night I was ahead of you, because I was talking about a specific cinematic. I was going to ask you how far you were. Yeah. So you're out of Frostfire now, right?
Yeah, and I went into, I think, like, Gorgrond or something like that. And then I did, like, a little bit of questing with Rexxar, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to finish the Rexxar quest line, because he's a hunter and he's really cool. And then after that, I think I'm just going to abandon the zone because I got 94, so I can go to the next level up zone, Taladar maybe?
Taladar Jungle, I don't know.
It's supposed to be right in the middle of the continent anyway, so I'm pretty stoked about that. I decided that, because originally I stayed in Frostfire for like ever because I was trying to... essentially level up and get the lore master achievement as I leveled up. But now the person that I'm playing with basically is level 95 and a half, I think. So I have to catch up to them in order to not lose the bet.
Is there a public bet? Or is
no,
this
no.
A match among friends, a steak yes. dinner of some sort?
Yes, it's a I'm better than you, na-na-na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na-na.
Except I'm losing right now, so turn that's it over. A problem. And then they're going to get, like, 3 full days of time where I can't play, so...
Well, maybe...
And it's over a weekend. Oh, it's so upsetting.
I know. Well, what you need to do is you need to... call the doctor in their locale, set up an eye appointment for them. So they then it's like, well, I'm here. I didn't realize you made it. And then they shoot laser at their eyes. Ah, you can't play for 3 days.
Aww. Take that.
And they walk away sad. Eyes, pew, pew. Yeah, exactly. I think that's your only course of action.
Absolutely.
There's not a Absolutely. Single other thing you can do.
So, yeah, I've been, I was originally trying to complete all the zones as I went, but now I'm just like, I feel like I'm falling behind a lot of my friends. Like, I mean, most of the people on our raid team are already 100. So I feel like what I'm going to do is just get myself to 100 so that I can still kind of do everything that I need to do mm-hmm. with people. And then I can just go back and do more questing in a more kind of Jocelyn-paced manner.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jocelyn pace myself.
It's I think it's better because the story is awesome.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, I feel like I took not very long. Like, I flew through the content in the zone that Rexar's in. See, I can't even remember the name of the zone. Mm-hmm. And then, basically, I was, like, skimming quests, and I ran a couple dungeons last night with some AIE people, and... It was really, really fun the first time through, and then we did it a second time, and I was kind of like, well, now I've seen it. I don't really, like, I'm not a dungeon grinding person.
Yeah.
So, I leveled a little bit too quickly, and then I only got through the first quest hub in the zone, and then I was, you know, ready to move on. So, and that is partly because I stayed in Frostfire for so long. But yeah, I mean, I followed the main Frostfire storyline and then got that cool cinematic. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go all spoilers on the cinematic because I don't want to ruin the story for anybody. But the cinematic was pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. Sad, but really good. And I felt like there was just a lot of story there that I've missed the story in the next zone. And I'm probably only going to get, like, 3/4 of the way through the story in the next zone, maybe. And that's only because I'm going to it, like, right away. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how I feel about this just general leveling process. I feel like I'm losing out on a lot.
So, yeah, because whenever I've played World of Warcraft in the last 10 years, it's always been about hitting that level. You know, hitting cap, getting ready for the next thing, which is dungeons, loot grind, all that fun stuff. It's never about the story. It's never about experiencing the quest lines that Blizzard has set out for you. Like, you compare Warlords to something like Skyrim or other RPGs like Dragon Age, where in those games, it's all about the story. It doesn't matter what level you are, as long as you can actually kill the dudes and move on and experience the story. I don't know why it's any different from MMOs, where people feel they need to rush through the story as if it's not, you know, it's not as important as other games.
Well, it's not necessarily that it's not important, but there's so much... I guess, weight given to endgame content, mm-hmm. and everybody wants to get as high up as they can, as fast as they can, so they can start getting the gear sooner, and then, I don't know. I'm still, like, I've never been in an expansion when it actually first started, so I don't really understand the grinding of the raids in the endgame just to get the good gear so that you can kill things faster, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting to me because to me the story should be the most important. But I feel like all my friends now are way ahead of me, mm-hmm. and I need to grind as fast as possible. And grinding as fast as possible means always killing things that are a little bit above me, which means that I can't really hang out in Frostfire forever and finish all those quest lines. Because if I do, I'm going to be getting like no XP, and it's like. A waste of time, kind of. I'm doing air quotes for the audio listeners. Waste of time. just because instead of earning like 1,000 XP for each mob kill, I'm earning 500 because now I'm 93 and they're 92 instead of me being 90 and them being 92. So like as soon as you surpass them in levels, then all of a sudden you start earning way less experience for killing them, which does make sense. Mm-hmm. But it means that in general, you level out of a zone. And I thought that it was an issue where I had, you know, I started playing Pandaria, for example, after it got nerfed. So originally, I can't even remember, I think it was like 26 million XP that you needed to go from 85 to 86. And then they nerfed it and it went down to like 13 million. And it was just like, all of a sudden, you only need to get half the XP, so you're going through zones faster. And that's what I thought the problem was, is that the whole Pandaria got nerfed. But I'm finding the exact same experience in Warlords now. So, I don't know. It's,
I think it's
just peer pressure. It's peer pressure that's ruining the game for me.
It's definitely
well, peer not ruining. Pressure. Not. I'm having a blast, guys. I am having a blast.
You're having fun, but you're missing out on something that is important to you as a gamer. You know, like bringing up the Skyrim example. Like you love that game. You put hours into it. Hundreds of hours into it. You put hours into it. Yes. You just loved it to death. You put 5 hours. You killed that one dragon.
To be fair, I have also put hundreds of hours into Warcraft. Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
And I know that there are people with hundreds of days into Warcraft, but considering I only started playing about 3 years ago, I think now I have 45 days in Warcraft on my main character, which is kind of a lot.
You know how much it is? I've had my character since BC, and I have 40 days.
Uh-oh.
That's 8 years, I think. Yeah, if you do the math. Wow, revelations. You probably, it's probably a good thing that you're getting laser eye surgery this weekend. You could use a break. Like, let's be honest. Let me get a few more days in, you know.
It tells me every time I log in how long I've been playing my character.
Really?
Yeah. I have an add-on that does it.
Why would you have an add-on that does that?
It kind of helps me a little.
How? Explain.
Well, because it tells me how long I've spent playing that character, and then it tells me how long I've spent playing at that level. So then I know if I'm leveling kind of on par with everything else, or if I'm not, if I'm taking too much time or going too slowly or whatever. It's because then I know that the thing that I'm doing, pet battling or dungeon runs or whatever, is either speeding up or slowing down my XP gain. And then I also have just my total, and I look at my total, and I'm just like, okay, 45 days, I should probably back off a little and take a break.
Well, okay. Maybe. I don't know. Really, like, if you compare the amount of time you spend in WoW and then the amount of time I don't spend in WoW in gaming, I'm sure it evens out, if not tips the scales or in one way or another. Like,
well, for a really long time, WoW was all I did. Like, if you go back, and I feel so sorry about this, guys, but if you go back, about a year and a half in Gamers In episodes, like every single week I'm talking about WoW, because for a long time, pretty much when I finished with Skyrim, I picked up WoW and just ran with it. As soon as I got to 90 and didn't have to wait for the person I was leveling with anymore, and I could just play at my own pace and do whatever I want because there was no more XP gain, it was so much better, and I was just playing all the time. The only thing that had slowed me down and kept me out of WoW so much was that I was playing with somebody and trying to keep our characters at the same level. So if they weren't available, then I couldn't play. So
yeah, I mean, let me spoil this for the new listeners who haven't listened to the back catalog. The first three episodes of Gamers In, we talked about Skyrim. Then the next 142 episodes had a little bit of Mass Effect and just a whole lot of WoW. But yeah, that's a valid point. You haven't just been playing World of Warcraft. I've played a lot of Mass Effect.
I pick up stuff. Like, I mean, for instance, this week I picked up Call of Duty. I'm super stoked to play it. I installed it last night, but I haven't actually had a chance to get my hands on it yet. I'm really excited to see what they're doing in Advanced Warfare because I really like Kevin Spacey and it looks a lot like House of Cards, so I just want to see what they've done with that story. Mm-hmm. It looks really, really cool. It looks like a reimagining. Like, it's not just Black Ops 3. So,
right. It looks good.
Cool. I'm excited for it, and it's something that I'm going to get into. But for instance, like Shadow of Mordor, I picked that up a few weeks ago, played for maybe 2 hours. It was fun and cool, but it didn't fully suck me in. So I went back to WoW.
Well, I mean, it's all about where you're comfortable. And I have this issue sometimes, too, where I'm like, I have a stack of games. There's even a new one coming out tomorrow. But I just so invested in this, like, in this thing, this mm-hmm. other game. But I still feel the need to have that other game, like that new game, right? Like, same yep. thing that you had with Shadows of Mordor. I fortunately or unfortunately did not pick up Mordor. I kind of stayed away from it. It's like, okay, this is one of those games where I'm going to want to play it, but I'm going to get sucked away and it's going to be mm-hmm. a waste of money. Not a waste, but by the time I do get around to it, you know, yeah. Christmas is around the corner and we all know what happens around Christmas. We have the holiday sale, so.
I know. Yeah. And someone in the chat room right now is saying that Shadow is great and it gets better the more you play. This is the point. Like, I'm not saying Shadow is bad. I'm not saying Call of Duty is bad. I'm not saying anything about these other games in comparison to WoW as one being better than the other. I'm just saying that I'm so invested in my Warcraft character. All my friends are there. I have a ton of fun when I play, and especially since they just brought out the expansion. Like, I was doing laundry tonight, and I had about 2 hours to play, and I played Warlords because that's where I wanted to be. And it doesn't mean that my other options are worse games. It just means that I want to be in Warlords. I want to be in WoW. So, I'm trying to mix it up, but nothing's really grabbed me enough to take me out of that universe.
Well, it's because there's just so much to offer in World of Warcraft. Like, I'm even noticing this too, and every expansion that comes out, I'm like, what's going to hook me? What's going to bring me back? Because, as said time and time again, World of Warcraft has, like, a special place in my gaming heart. Like, it's the first MMO, the only MMO. It feels, you know, like I don't want to make an analogy. It'll just sound bad. But Warlords has brought to me the story that I want and love. And, you know, this is the first time in MMO I've actually paid attention to what's happening. But also the garrisons. Like, I find myself logging in just to manage my garrison. Like, set up my followers, go mine. I love that mm-hmm. they put a mine there. I don't even have to, like,
it's have a mine. Mining as a skill?
I have mining as a skill.
Oh, yeah. I don't, and I can still go in and mine.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know. I had all these little nodes on the map, and I was like, what is this? And I hovered over it, and it was like something, something, or, and I was like, oh, weird. And then so I just, like, ran into the mine, and I was like, why are these even here? Like, why am I tracking minerals? Like, I'm not a miner. And then, like, I right-clicked on it, and I start doing the little pitchforky thing, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm not mining. I was on a Skype call with someone, and I was like, dude, I'm mining. And he's like, aren't you a skinner and a leather worker? I'm like, yes. And he's like, well, then you're not mining. I'm like, no. I'm mining.
Go to your mine right now. Go to your
exactly.
mine.
Exactly.
Well, there's a herbalist section in the garrison that I haven't opened yet. Does that mean I'm going to be able to pick flowers too?
Possibly. And I mean, I have the leatherworking thing and I can do that, but I am a leather worker. It's called the tannery. So yeah. I opened that up because I was like, well, I'm a leather worker, so clearly that's going to be helpful. But now I'm thinking maybe I should have stayed away from professions that I actually have because I can do them out in the world, and I should have opened up professions I don't have to do them in my garrison.
Well, I think the argument on that is that there's some materials you can only get through your garrison to actually make high-level items.
Okay. I'm just assuming. I do know my trainer's in there now, so if I want to buy recipes, I have to do that at my trainer.
Yeah.
So I guess I couldn't buy leatherworking recipes if I hadn't built a tannery, but... Anyways, like, it's one of those things. Like, I mean, I have been purposely staying away from spoilers and guides when it comes to garrisons because I just wanted to see if I could figure it out on my own through the information that they give you. And that's the one thing that I don't really 100%... not that I don't understand it. I get it. There's a lot of information to absorb, though, and it's really difficult to make good decisions, I think, because they're just like, oh... what building do you want to build, you know, or you find blueprints and stuff and you're just like, okay, well, I only have the resources to do one thing. So do I want to tannery or do I want to this other thing that I found? And it's just like, well, I really, really don't know what the best option is here. So
I just kind of winged it. I mean, I'm a jewel crafter, so of course I'm going to put a jewel crafting station in. Someone had said that the lumber mill was a good idea. I couldn't tell if they were being sarcastic or not. If they were, please tell me, because I built a lumber mill. I haven't found any trees, so maybe
they're
that's...
They're all laughing at you now.
Oh, damn it.
I brought into the lumber mill. Sucker.
They tricked me. But it doesn't matter. Like, I think when I we were on a stream and I had said, oh, I can't wait for Garrison's, and someone immediately links this, like, imager post, like, 2 pages long of, this is the ideal build. And I'm like, what?
How have you already figured that out?
And that's fine. Well, I mean, for some people,
it's from beta, but still.
Yeah, some people want to min-max, and that's totally cool. But for me, it's just I wanna trip into it, figure it out myself. I if I make a mistake, I'll make up the resources and just tear it down and build it back up, because it's not forever, you know.
Exactly.
So I'm digging Garrison's.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun in it too. What level is your Garrison now? Are you at level 2?
Yes, I did get the upgrade for the extra plots and stuff. But it's funny, like, my followers, I've almost got a couple of level 100 followers. And
me too.
Yeah, they're just.
I'm like, my followers are level 100 and I'm still down at 94. I feel like that's not right.
We should be going on those quests. I mean,
exactly. There's clearly more XP.
I don't know how he hit from 98 to 99 with finishing one quest. I mean, take me there. Like, you know, I don't know. It's obviously you're going to get lots of followers and you're going to have tons of missions. They're probably all randomized. So I'm enjoying it, and I'm getting in where I can, but there's been a lot of distractions lately. So, but I'm looking forward to hearing about COD, because and I want you to stream some multiplayer, because I have not seen any of the multiplayer.
I don't have anyone to play multiplayer with, so I don't actually know if I'm going to jump into multiplayer. I'm definitely going to play through the single-player campaign, and I promise I'll actually make it through this time, because I actually gave up on the single-player campaign in Black Ops 2 just because I really didn't like the storyline. Like, there were some times when you had to, like, mow down refugees and stuff, and I was just like, this is not... I think I talked about it on the show, and I'm just like, I don't feel good about this. Like, games should be fun, and so I want to have a good time, and this is making me feel like a terrible person and make me feel very sad. I don't like either of those things, so I'm just gonna switch over to multiplayer. And at the time I had Clark to play with, which was super fun, but he's all, oh, I play Hearthstone now, and I'm like, but God. So I don't have my multiplayer buddy to play with, so I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I don't like going into multiplayer all alone, so we'll see. I like it when I can talk to somebody on Skype and kind of make a plan and watch each other's backs and then laugh hysterically when we get throwing knives in the back of the head.
Right. Well, I don't own this on PC. And they never go on sale. If you get super into it, like, maybe, but I haven't touched it. But I know we were talking about, like, how they're adding the Horde mode back, and you thought it was just about zombies that I wanted. But I actually do like the Horde mode.
Yeah.
Zombies doesn't make a difference, but I always liked their DLC plans, how they kind of add extra modes and stuff. I just wish some of that extra fluff was in the main game, right?
I paid a surprising amount of money for this game.
Yeah, it's like $70.
Yeah, because of the stupid freaking Steam changing to Canadian dollars bullshit. Well, I want to play in American, then let me play in American. I have American dollars in my PayPal account.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, wouldn't it convert anyways? But yeah, if you have American PayPal.
I have American. Just let me pay the American price with the American dollars.
Well, you should have bought it on Reman Gaming, and then you pay American dollars.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I paid on Steam in Canadian, and it was dumb and expensive. It makes me angry.
You can buy the season pass.
I haven't actually done the math. Like, paying American prices in American dollars might actually be more expensive. I don't know, but I doubt it.
I don't know.
Our dollar is really shit right now, dude. So,
I know.
Paying an extra $15. Well, no, $15 is a lot. Wait, was it 60 or was it 50 American?
60.
60. Okay, so paying an extra $5. Okay, never mind. I'm happy with Steam again.
That COD
I pay less
premium
than the Americans.
Probably. I don't know. Games are expensive. truly, next gen titles are $70 here in Canada, and like, buying a next gen game on PS4, Xbox One, and PC now, which is surprising, is a real decision. Like, you got to actually think about it. Whereas, like, when it was $50, it was just a little easier to be like, sure, let's check this out. You know, if it's, if I get like 10 hours into it and I don't like it and I want to put it down, fine.
Yeah. No, that's true. It does seem like everything is just so much more expensive now, but, I'm looking forward to playing it, and hopefully I'm playing on PC, so if anybody wants to play with me, obviously I bought it on Steam, so I'm playing on PC. Everyone keeps asking me what console I'm playing on. I'm like, neither.
She's PC.
Yeah, I am all PC all the way, so...
Well, we'll have to add a level to the Patreon. Jocelyn buys a PS4.
Yeah, really. I'll get there eventually. I'm hoping that either through Black Friday or through Boxing Day, there's going to be some super cool deals. But we'll have to see. Anyway, so what I really want to hear about is Dragon Age, because basically I got COD and you got Dragon Age, and I think I got the short end of that stick. But I want to hear all about Dragon Age and how awesome it is.
Dragon Age is awesome. And I'm going to tell you why it's awesome. But... it's really fantastic. I love the Dragon Age series. Played through Origin, it's just like crazy. Listened to every dialogue conversation. Dragon Age 2, I did the same thing. So when Inquisition came around, I did something very rare. I did not watch any of the trailers. I saw a couple screenshots. I was actually really proud of myself. I don't know how I did this, but I've watched nothing. I knew the game was going to be beautiful, but I did not know it was going to be this beautiful. That game is just probably the best looking game I've ever seen. And I actually picked up a new video card for it. I got the NVIDIA N70, and it just blows this game out of the water. It looks amazing. You're running around in these vast open worlds. You can see mountains in the distance that you can go to, which seems to be the common next gen open world thing.
Look how good we do mountains, guys.
Yeah, and guess what? You can go there and get killed by weird green demons. It's amazing. but the way the game starts out is you're an unknown character. You create your character, so you're not hinged on what your character looked like in past games. BioWare isn't creating a character for you. So many customization options, 4 different races. Male,
so basically
female.
You're telling me that you spent like 4 hours just creating your character.
Well, okay, not really. I'm one of those people who just like picks
it's
a race.
The random button?
No, definitely. Oh. Definitely not hit the, I don't know what this is. Definitely did not hit the random button. My character is, I go in with a story, then make the character that fits the story, which I know is weird, but you know, because looks don't dictate story, but anyways.
If he's like a battle hardened orc warrior,
well then he's gonna be an
maybe
orc.
He's gonna have a big huge scar across his face or something.
Well, okay, and don't take this the wrong way, people who have facial hair, but my guy.
Oh god.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's Movember right now, so pretty much everyone has facial hair. Oh, except god. For you.
Anyways, we won't go there either. My character is a warrior, because in the past 2 games I played a mage and a rogue, so I wanted to try the warrior class. And basically, my guy is the way I play these characters all the time is that I'm very flirtatious, because I love the dialogue that BioWare writes for that stuff. It's hilarious.
You skank.
I know. I get around. Sometimes I accidentally hit on the guys too. I don't mean to lead them on, but sometimes it's like really hard to keep them away from me. Just saying. also I like to joke around a lot, even if that person who I'm joking around with does not like me joking around with them. So I gave him like a goatee or a mustache and a goatee, so he looks kind of like a French who are the people that have like the mustaches and the goatee?
Black twirly mustaches.
Yeah, it's not quite twirly, so I'm not evil.
Okay.
So that's what my character looks like, basically. It's just he's defined by his mustache, and he just looks amazing. He's running around killing things, and occasionally you get a glimpse of his face with that mustache, and it just makes me smile. So I guess it wasn't bad at all. But Jimmy the Shovel, not at all. Well, my character is. He says, Ryan Murphy, digital sex symbol. No.
In the chat room.
Just there is a guy in my room who I named Jim the Shovel. Although it
tells you how much of a sex symbol you are.
Yeah. It actually cracked. Anyways, let's get into this game here. So it starts off, you create your character. You are you're thrust into this world that that's been at war. The mages and the Templars, basically the mages and the warriors.
Does it take place before or after the other games in the series?
After. It is sequential, so it's all in order.
So I should go and play the first two games, because I've touched both.
Yes. Inappropriately, I imagine.
I haven't played all the way through.
So that's an interesting point. Something I actually took a look at, didn't get a chance to talk about on the show due to BlizzCon, but there's a website that BioWare set up called the Dragon Age Keep at dragonagekeep.com. I went through it, through my experiences with it, and posted the video on my YouTube channel. And basically what it is you sign in through Origin, it imports your BioWare saves from the original Dragon Age games, and gives you your world story, and allows you to make choices as the video plays describing your adventures in the original two games. And once that video ends, you can even go in and make changes in what's called the tapestry. So okay. It's essentially the story of both those old games condensed into it kind of looks like a quilt with different patches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can click on, say, the companions patch, and it opens up and says, okay, who did you romance? Did this person die? Did this person leave your party? Did you recruit so-and-so? And there's just a bunch of choices. And you can tailor your entire story from beginning to end, even if you want to make a change to a choice you made in an older game, you can do that, export it to Inquisition, which works flawlessly, and all of those choices are now represented in this new game, no matter where you played it.
Even if I didn't play all the way through 1 and 2, not 1 and 2, but whatever, you know what I mean. Even if I didn't play all the way through the first two games, mm-hmm. I can go to this website, I can go through, make the choices, I can export it into my new game, into Inquisition,
yep.
And that essentially builds my world?
It sets up choices that you made in previous games, so the game can look back at this like Excel spreadsheet of choices and say, mm-hmm. "Oh, we're encountering this character. What did they do in Dragon Age 1 to this character?" Right. And then it looks at that choice and says, "Okay, based on that choice, this is how this character is going to react. Or is that character even alive in this world?"
Right.
And the beauty of the system and why they did it online is that I know you played Origins on Xbox 360, right?
Yes.
Now, 2, you might have played on PC, I'm not sure.
Yes.
It pulls from whatever platform you're on, no matter what. And then because you didn't finish it, you're obviously missing gaps, and you've got gaps in the story there. So you can go through, make all your choices based on just your personal preference. It gives you kind of dialogue as to what was going on to cause this choice. And you can be like, yeah, if I was playing, I would have chose this. And then when you're done, you just replay it, and it shows the video based on your choices and gives you the entire story in about 20 minutes for the first two games. And it basically opens up this what is a very complex and deep RPG to everybody,
mm-hmm.
who has never played, you know, two other 100-plus hour RPGs.
Well, and that's kind of what's kept me out of playing these Dragon Age titles, like, all the way through, is just because of the huge time sink, which is, you know, awesome that they put so much time and effort into the game, but at the same time, it's just staggering when you think about, like, I've done the same with Skyrim. I want to play Skyrim through again, but I'm just like, well, that's 150 hours of my life that I'll never get back, so I should probably not just do it again.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I was skeptical when I first started hearing about it, and being able to run through that website was even good for me because I haven't played these games in a very long time.
That's true. It'd be a really good reminder of things that you did, because I found that with Mass Effect 3, is I was just like, I knew 2 really well, because I think I'd played 2 through 3 or 4 times, like, but I'd only played 3/4 of 1. I'd never actually finished Mass Effect 1. So I was just like, yeah, I didn't really want to go through and play all of that kind of stuff. But you forget what you did and who died and what you said and who these people were and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And and Mass Effect was nowhere near the time sink that some of these other RPG games are, like Dragon Age. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're playing 15, 20, 25 hours in a playthrough of one of the Mass Effect games, and that's a slow playthrough, then, you know, all of a sudden you look at Dragon Age that's four or five times that, and you're just like, oh man, like that's intimidating. I don't want to start that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a roadblock because you do not want to go back and play Origins or even Dragon Age 2, because both those games are from a previous generation. They right. don't look quite as nice as what you might be playing now. Someone argue Origins is kind of a mess, you know, and I would agree with that. It's an older game based on older types of PC games, and it's to us these days, it's kind of like this is not fun trying to navigate these systems. And it pays off because in the first couple hours of Dragon Age, I'm just rolling around my camp, having conversations with people. I play all the dialogue conversations, and I'm able to ask, like, my romance option from the first game about how the warden is doing. And she's like, yeah, warden's doing fantastic. Once I'm done here, I'll be, you know, and it's really cool how it kind of all just connects. And once again, Jimmy the Shovel in the chat room is on fire saying, so this website allows you to, you know, lie about your previous sexual conquest, just like real life. And it's like, well, yeah, if, like I said, if you don't like a choice, you can just go back. And now people are calling me out for calling Origin a mess. I mean, come on. It is kind of old and janky. It was fun, but that game's very old.
Yeah. So yeah, that's awesome. But you're enjoying Inquisition. How many hours have you sunk into it so far?
About six. I'm taking my time with it because I really have been waiting a long time for this game, and I'm doing all the dialogue. I'm talking to people constantly. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if I go in there and people are like, you again, come on. But one last thing about it. Sorry, I want to say one other thing that surprised me, because like I said, I haven't been watching the trailers, but there's sort of like a garrison mode in that game.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you're the Inquisition, right? You formed a group of people to kind of like try to sway the world into helping you defeat the greater evil. And you basically, that table that you all gather around to have a conversation, it basically, the camera zooms out and kind of shows this map, and there are little tablet pieces on the map, and you can start quests and open up different areas based on your progression in the story. So it's not a connected open world. It's like a world map, and you can kind of teleport to different places, but they are vast locations. Mm-hmm. And you open them up by doing these little quests, like sending your non-party member Inquisition members on like diplomatic quests. It's actually really cool and clever, and something I haven't seen in games in a long time. It's really neat. Yeah, you made the wrong choice. You probably should have picked up Dragon.
Well, I don't really think it's a right or wrong choice. Like I said, I am really interested to see what they've done with Call of Duty in this iteration. I think it looks really cool. And I like the franchise. It's one of the first franchises I really got into. Like way back in the, I'm trying to remember what the first ones were, but you know, back when it was like World War II stuff, back when it was really, really good.
Remember World War II? Man, that was great.
That's... You know what I mean?
I'm being serious. Like, there are people out there that are of the opinion that we've swung full circle. I mean, like, I don't want future war. I want World War II again.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree.
That's when I really got into Call of Duty. And it's kind of swayed me away from it with some of the newer stuff they've done, but Advanced Warfare really looks cool. So I need to play it. You know, one way or another, whether it's amazing or whether it's shit, I need to play it. And so I'm happy with my purchase, but I do think Dragon Age is something that I'm going to try to pick up afterwards. So we'll see. It'll be good. So do you want to give us a quick update on the Xbox 360? Because the chat room was asking earlier. So yeah. You want to do that before we jump into our topic this week?
What is with people wanting us to buy expensive next-gen systems, Jocelyn? I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Well, the chat room will be sad to hear that my 360 is doing fine. I ordered another power supply from Microsoft. Thank you know, sometimes we curse that they have that giant brick on the outside. Well, because that brick was on the outside, it was able to take the full force of the power surge, and I replaced it for $30, and I have myself a working 360. So Mass Effect 3 multiplayer lives on. And the Xbox.
That's really the only thing we use that system for now. It's just Mass Effect 3 multiplayer once every like 6 months.
but I was upset. Like, and that was my main reason, right? Because Halo and Mass Effect, and I could just get an Xbox One with the Master Chief Collection and be done with it.
Yeah.
But Mass Effect's a different story.
Oh, man. All right. So I just wanted to remind everybody that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. And they absolutely have a holiday sale going on. It's not a Black Friday sale like last year. It's a holiday sale. It runs from November 17th until December 17th. So go check it out. That, again, is DoghouseSystems.com. So this week we are going to talk about AAA titles and their day one jankiness, specifically Assassin's Creed Unity. So this is something I haven't dropped any money on, but I was totally stoked for. And then everything that's been happening, oh man, dude. Oh man. This game was not ready.
Yeah, but I've noticed lately that 75% of games that come out on any console or PC have some level of jankiness to contend with day one.
It's true. I mean, we had the Warlords launch that went not very smoothly, and the result of that is 5 days of free game time for anyone with an active subscription. And then we had, what else? There was something else within the last not very long that had a really, really janky day one. Because I feel like this really started, or at least the one that I remember the best, was SimCity.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end.
That was the beginning of it. Yeah. Really, like, I mean, you know, everyone wanted to play. They weren't ready for it. The game wasn't ready. And then ever since then, I feel like things have just been rushed out. And every single title that I've gone to play has had, or gone to play day one, I guess, has had serious issues. And I mean, like, we do know that at least part of what was wrong with Warlords is that no one saw those subscriber numbers coming. I mean, they're up over 10 million now. So I mean, they had the DDoS stuff, and that was one thing, but I mean, even Patrick on the instance, he only just left Blizzard within the last, let's say, a month, I think. And although obviously he doesn't speak for Blizzard and doesn't, you know, have all that kind of inside info anymore, but still, when they were talking about subscriber numbers on the instance, they were saying, oh, yeah, the kind of 8 million number, like, they're around 8 million is what they were kind of thinking, the numbers they were throwing around. Scott went up to 8.5. But, you know, Patrick was really saying, like, oh, if we see 8 million, if we hit 8 million. So for someone who had just left Blizzard to say if and 8 million, and then for them to get 2 million over top of the if number, like, those are huge, huge numbers for the servers to try to handle in terms of subscribers. So, I mean, we do know that just sales alone contributed to issues in Warlords. But at the same time, like, it just feels like title after title after title has problems. I think the last one that I played day one that didn't have any problems was South Park. Not very demanding.
Oh, yeah, and that's an offline. Usually it's, well, I say offline. That one is an offline title, but usually the games that are the worst culprits are these big, epic systems that have to play nice together. Like, Unity is a large game filled with many different types of game. Like, there's co-op missions, there's normal missions, there's story, there's, it's a next-gen new engine that they haven't been using for the last 10 years. And I got Unity through my video card. It was free. But I still feel like I paid for it. Video cards aren't cheap. But I have not experienced any issues with Unity. And most of the highly publicized stuff coming out of Unity is Ubisoft has said it's due to the fact that people don't have the day one patch and aren't updating their drivers. And there might be even an argument that the people who are complaining the most about this might be the people who haven't legitimately picked up the game, because who's playing it without a day one patch? I mean,
yeah, true.
That's pretty dumb.
Who have characters that then have no face, which is the greatest video game bug I have ever seen.
And then you say that, and I immediately have to take back that statement, because I kind of want to. I kind of want to see
the
that
day one patch just so you can see the no face bug.
Yeah, League of Saiyans, you don't have to defend it. That's like your opinion, man. Like I enjoy the Assassin's Creed series, so I kind of feel like whenever a new one comes out, it's like, of course I'm going to play it by default, and it's going to be great. And it's another Assassin's Creed title. Does it suck that Ubisoft is having all these issues? Yes, it is. It really sucks, but at least they're taking it to task and they're actually fixing it. Like, they've mm-hmm. been patching it almost once a week now since its release. But I don't know. Like, I kind of feel
that all these companies seem to do a fairly good job. Again, SimCity being the outlier, mm-hmm. but they seem to do a pretty good job with patching and making it work within, you know, a very relatively quick turnaround time, given, you know, just the development cycle of the game itself. You know, if you're taking 2, 3, 4, 5, however many years to create this content, and then you put it out to the public, and then you have to fix it in 24 hours. Like, I mean, I've dabbled in coding through GIS and everything else, and I know, Ryan, like, you're a computer codey guy, and, like, it just trying to think about all of the code that you would have to try to go through to try to figure out what the problem is, and just all of the troubleshooting, and it makes my brain kind of spin. So, I mean, good on them for getting these fixes out so often, so quickly, and so effectively. But at the same time, it's just like, you've got all of these people in these betas. And I understand that a beta, unless you make it completely open, is not going to give you anywhere near the numbers that you're going to get hitting your servers on day one. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah. How have people going into beta, and maybe it's a problem with consumers and their idea of beta, maybe they're taking it as, well, this is me getting early access to the game and getting to play, as opposed to this is me trying to test something, trying to break it, and then reporting any bugs that I find.
Right.
So maybe we need to change our mindset when we actually get into betas to help these companies do a better job of a day one launch.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, they do all of this testing and maybe they're not getting enough people or they're not getting enough results or something. But how can we have these day one launches that are so terrible? Yeah. When we have all of this beta testing? Well, like, I don't remember beta testing ever really being a thing that was open to the public until, you know, the last 5 or 10 years, you know? Like,
yeah. Mostly back in the day, games were tested internally, and then they had,
yes,
like,
exactly,
you know, external tests through like focus group type stuff. Mm-hmm. Not really just to like fix bugs.
Well, I mean, now we have the internet, so
yeah, now we have the internet. It's like we're all one big focus group. Welcome to the beta, everybody. But with Unity, it's and other large scale games, like Ubisoft just launched Far Cry 4, and it's having its own fair share of issues as well. And I think it's really due to how complex the game is, you know? Mm. There's just so much in there and so much happening that they just announced today that, like, oh, it turns out a lot of the issues in Unity are due to the fact that you have contacts added to your in-game list, which are people you've encountered in-game through either multiplayer or co-op missions. So it's just little things like that that you don't catch. You don't think to like delete a bunch of contacts to see if your game's going to run fine. And Ubisoft's actually come out and said that we are going to open up our review policy. We're going to make sure games get to reviewers early, because the embargo was noon the day of it was released. So everybody who was going to buy it day one already had it.
Right.
Which did not please people. but they also said that they're going to be doing open betas for their titles. Like, story games don't usually get betas because it ruins the story, right?
Right, right.
It's usually multiplayer or those are the type of betas we see. Mm-hmm. You look at multiplayer games like another game that's having launch issues, the Master Chief Collection. You cannot play multiplayer in that game.
Which
think
is
about
pretty
that.
Key.
Yeah, you cannot play multiplayer in a Halo game.
And it's not even new Halo games, right? This is all like remastered stuff, which is great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like everyone's already played that story. They want to jump in and play multiplayer with new graphics, and you can't even multiplayer?
Yeah. The way they were saying is like, this is the ultimate Halo experience. All 104 maps from the past four games, you'll be able to play. And they've been patching it every other day to try and get that working. And they did not have an open beta for their multiplayer. Every Halo before that has had some sort of multiplayer beta. So it's expensive to test internally. And there are obviously risks involved with testing externally as well. Like you can have leaks, you can have stuff get out that, you know, in the people's hands that make them not want to buy the product. So... Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to make Josh buy a broken Halo is what he's saying in the chat room. It's like, I want you to play the story. I could care less about the multiplayer.
Don't let him talk you into playing Halo. Don't do it.
Oh, yeah. I suppose it's happening again, right? Because I was just going to say, well, I'm not going to make him play all of them all at once. And then we're like, yeah, I guess I was kind of going to do that, right? So, yeah.
Ryan's a terrible influence. Halo's kind of meh. Don't let him try to suck you in.
I'm an awful person.
Walk away.
If I start talking about Halo, just, you know. But, you know, one game I have played recently that has had no day one, I played it at midnight, preloaded it, was a Nintendo game. And this has got to be said about Nintendo is that they release their games in a finished state. And that
we
feels,
have to wait forever, but
well, yeah, you have to wait forever. You have to wait till it's done. And Blizzard has this same sort of like tenet, right? Mm-hmm. They say that we'll release it when it's done.
You'll get it soon, TM.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue whether like servers are involved. Like, there's no like server side massively multiplayer game that Nintendo's doing. Like Smash Brothers is an offline experience that you mm-hmm. can sometimes play online. And I was playing it, 1201 was working fine, having a blast. Whereas with Dragon Age, even with Dragon Age and with Unity, I was like, what settings are causing these issues? Oh, I gotta turn the anti-aliasing down because that's bugged. Oh, wait, super sampling is bugged. Like, maybe it's PC games, I don't know, but it's just, mm-hmm. I really wish we could have that midnight launch back, you know? Just want that experience.
Yeah, it seems like they're maybe just trying to do too much with these, you know, with all the technology that's available and trying to make all these different things work together. Maybe they're just taking on too much and trying to cram it into the same development cycle as they had previously. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Hopefully we'll have some better day one launches with some of our newer titles coming out soon. I know there's some stuff coming up that I'm looking forward to. So we'll see. Cross your fingers. And, yeah, Legacy of the Void. I want it now.
You're not going to get it now, and probably won't get it next year either.
Yeah, I know. I know. When I say coming up, I mean soon, TM.
If 2016 is coming up soon for you, I mean, you really should not skip entire years. I mean, I know that Star Wars movie is looking pretty stellar, but come on.
Dude, Legacy.
We can wait. It'll be fine.
So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to /loot.com. That's /loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to /loot.com and show off your podcast pride. Which brings us to our listener feedback section. So we had a news story that was sent in by a listener, Brandon, and he wanted to talk about the news on Oddworld for the Wii U. So, Ryan, obviously you are our resident Wii U expert.
One of the few.
What?
I said one of the few.
Yeah, one of the few in the world. Yeah. So, have you seen this game? Like, what are your thoughts on Oddworld, and why do you think that it's been, I guess, delayed? Or what have they done?
So,
like, it hasn't been canceled. That's what the big news was, basically, is it hasn't been canceled.
It's not canceled. Oddworld, for old school gamers will remember, is a franchise that's been around for a very long time, and they're remaking one. I can't remember whether it's Oddest. Anyways, it's got a weird title, and it's a remake from an old game. I haven't played any of them. But the significance of this story is that people were worried that there was chatter of it being canceled on Wii U because the developers are facing challenges on that system that they're not facing anywhere else. And this is how I got this Nintendo story through the Jocelyn filter. It's going to be a chance to kind of call Nintendo out on their bullshit, which is the fact that they launch two versions of the Wii U, one with 8 gigs of storage and one with 32 gigs of storage, which is an issue for some games that clock in at, over 32 gigs of storage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no Wii U games like that, but Smash Brothers, for example, was 11 gigs.
Wow.
Yeah. Bayonetta 2 was 17.
So basically you can only have like one game on your console at a time?
Yeah, basically, if you don't own the external hard drive. So what Nintendo has said basically is like, we're cutting costs by giving, you know, our users a small amount of storage, and we're also giving our users the freedom to go out and buy whatever external powered drive. And I picked up a 2 terabyte drive for about $100. I'll never fill it. I'll have a hard drive filled with Nintendo games until the day the Wii U is replaced by the Wii U 2, or whatever they call it, the Bono version. And I'll always have storage for it. And the issue is that most people, some would argue most people who own a Wii or Wii U, aren't going to go out and buy a hard drive, especially to play something like Oddworld's New and Tasty is what it's called. Yeah, so...
Which is actually a pretty cool name for a video game.
They've always had... And it's a remake of Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, which was released in 97. And see, that's the issue, is that the developers are trying to face. Like, we want to get it to a size that will allow anybody, any Wii U owner, to download this game and have it and not cause any issues with storage. So therein lies the predicament, Jocelyn, is that you have this system that has a limited amount of space, and how do you solve that issue as a developer? Nintendo's kind of like, well, consumers should go buy a hard drive. And developers are like, well, most consumers won't do that.
Well, and not necessarily that they won't do that, is that the developer can't count on the consumer doing that. Like, they basically have to go to the lowest common denominator here, which is an 8 gig system. It doesn't really give developers a whole lot of options. And they have to basically decide, are we going to try to get underneath this 8 gig limit, or are we going to just say screw it? And, you know, I don't know off the top of my head what the sales figures are like for the difference between the 8 or the 32 gig console. But I mean, like, is it a 50-50 split? Are more people going with the 8 gig because it's cheaper? Like, what are we talking here in terms of like market share of the 8 gig unit?
There isn't like a clear... the clear winner is obviously the 32 gigabyte one, because the 8 gigabyte one has been discontinued. You can't buy it anywhere. All the versions that they put out are 32 gigs. But when I say like Bayonetta 2, 17 gigabytes, Smash Brothers, 12 gigabytes, like both those games released a month apart, pretty popular, reviewed very well. You're filling up your Wii U and you're deleting like large scale games. But like people in Mario 3D in the chat room, who, I mean, it's Mario, right? We can trust him.
Oh, we can totally trust him.
Yeah, it's a me. He says that like everybody he knows has a 32 gigabyte, and everybody I know has a 32 gigabyte as well. And for those who are serious and want to invest in their Wii U, will go out and buy a hard drive. And I feel for those developers. I mean, like, people on the 360 face the same challenge, right? Where you could buy a 360 without a hard drive.
And which was exactly the one that I got. I got the one with the 4 gig drive.
Yeah, and the big issue developers were facing is like, well, we can't...
Arcade edition or something, I think?
I think so, yeah. That's actually the one I was looking at, then realized, oh, I can't replace my 120 gigabyte one with one that has 4 gigs of storage. It was cheaper, though, which was the main point of attraction.
Yeah, it was super cheap. So basically, I bought it when it was super duper cheap and had a really small hard drive, but I just didn't really install anything. I deleted save games that I didn't need, and I played just on that for a really long time until I had the money to buy a hard drive.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of developers were facing, like, you know, well, we can't build in, like, caching-type stuff because some people might not have it. Like, Halo 4 required a hard drive. Or no, what was it? Yeah, Halo 4, yeah, it basically said, like, yeah, you're going to need a hard drive.
I think you're right.
So long story short, it's like, yeah, it sucks for the developer, and they have to, and they're trying to come up with a creative solution, but most developers run into this issue, just say like, well, it is what it is. People who want to play this game will go out and buy a, hard drive, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I definitely recommend, if you have a Wii U, look into a hard drive. The extra money spent there will cause headaches to not appear. Trust me. I kept going, and Jocelyn was typing. But
sorry.
No, it's fine. I was like, you thought I was, he's going to go on a diatribe about hard drives again?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally thought you were just gone. And I was like, okay, I just have to double-check what this link is and make sure that I've got the right thing. And then I was like halfway through typing the link, and I'm like, oh, Ryan's not talking anymore.
Yeah, whoops. Sorry. But no, sorry.
No, that's totally my bad.
It's all good.
So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we said thank you to our new patron this week, Jason E. Thank you so much. He also sent in a very fantastic email, and I wanted to say that we did read it, and thank you very much. I don't necessarily know if you want it read on the air. I can't remember if you did or not, but made some very, very kind comments, so we really appreciate that so much. I was telling Ryan, I read it this morning, and I was, like, tearing up, so... Thank you so much for all of the kind words. And thank you, everyone, for your support. We have our live chat room, who is awesome every Friday night. We've got our patrons that are great. They play games with us every Thursday night. And really, we've had so many positive comments and so much support behind this show. So thank you, everyone, for supporting us. It means quite a lot. So if you would like to become a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can do so by going to patreon.com/TheGamersInn. I think that pretty much does it for this week. Ryan, do you have anything you want to throw in before I end the show?
Well, if people are probably wondering, yes, I did pick up Smash. If you want to take a quick look at the Amiibo stuff, ooh, Mario, it's a bee, which is by far the best one.
What is that in it? Is that a fireball?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it kind of just looks like goo.
Oh, well, I mean, it's on fire. It kind of looks like goo if you take a quick look at it, but... If you are looking at the Amiibos, the Mario one is by far the best. And unfortunately, Jocelyn, Link, he's not so hot. He's got this weird, like, stand thing holding him up. It looks like he's peeing.
They could have made it clear.
They could have made it clear. Again...
It went with yellow, and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The figures are very, very awesomely detailed. And I put a video up on youtube.com/RyanMurphyCA of activating the figures in Mario Kart, activating them in Smash Brothers, kind of playing around with those features. So if you're curious about the Amiibo stuff, we're going to talk about it more next week. But if you want to get a video preview of it, it's up
there. Yeah, we just we ran way over time this week, guys.
Well. Dragon Age, WoW, COD, how could we not go over time?
Exactly. So yeah, next week we'll probably be talking about those Smash Amiibo things.
I'm going to make you say it. Amiibo, come on.
Amiibo things. And we'll be talking some COD too, so
yeah.
Don't worry if you don't like little figurines, because I'll talk about blowing things up.
Yeah, well, we can't always be blowing things up, Jocelyn. Sometimes we got to talk about little toys.
No, I think we should always be blowing things up. Helps, you know, relieve the stress. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So if you guys would like to, you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on A-Move TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and A-Move Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about your experiences during the Warlords launch, or your experiences with Dragon Age Inquisition, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.